Hello, and welcome back to another episode of The Tempo, the official podcast of the Kappa Kappa Psi Alumni Association. We are your hosts, Sav,
Mark,
and Tori.
And on today's episode, we bring you a conversation with a well-distinguished brother. She was initiated into the Kappa Beta chapter at Clemson University in the spring of 2012 and is the 2021 recipient of the Zach T. Stoddard Young Alumni Award. During her time as an active member, she served her chapter as vice president of membership and corresponding secretary. After her time as an active, she also served as curriculum advisor from 2018 to 19. Was a member of the Midwest District Alumni Association, Southeast Alumni Association, Southwest Alumni Association, and the Kappa Beta Alumni Association. She also served as Programs Director for the KKSI Southeast District Alumni Association Board from 2018 to 22, and she then served as Chair for the Kappa Kappa Psi Alumni Association Programs Committee from 21 to 23. Currently, she serves her service as... Currently, she continues her service as the local Alumni Association Director of the Kappa Kappa Psi Alumni Association, Chair of the Jurisdiction Committee of Kappa Kappa Psi AA, and Advisor of the Expansion Committee of Kappa Kappa Psi. Did I miss anything? You tell me, but everyone, this is Brittany Bipperston. And this is where you add the like the applause like emoji. Yay. Soundboard. Hi, welcome.
Thank you. Thank y'all. Thank you so much for having me. I've been so excited about this all week. So thank y'all again for having me. This is going to be a blast.
In this episode, we'll be diving into everything about local alumni associations, how you can start one, stay engaged, and find a welcoming community after graduation, or whenever you're ready to reconnect with Kappa Kappa Psi as an alumnus. By definition, what exactly is a local alumni association? According to the Kappa Kappa Psi AA website, local alumni associations, or LAAs, provide an avenue for alumni to stay connected and continue serving the fraternity. These associations may cover specific geographic areas or be affiliated with one or more chapters or universities. So our question for you, Brittany, is how else would you expand on the definition from the website?
So expanding it out, it's pretty much just a group of alumni, life, honorary, and graduating senior brothers that have just simply come together and want to continue their service to the college university bands.
Kind of branching off of what an LAA is, what are some of the specific goals or objectives that an LAA can have?
So really, the one thing I do like about what we do with our LAAs is we try to leave it as open as we can for their interpretation and setting up their goals and objectives. So pretty much on the renewal form application, we pretty much just have it kind of listed out as what we want to see in here of what they want to do for their LAAs and their specific goals and achievements. Currently, we do have it separated out into activities, service, social, membership, and fundraising. And we pretty much just ask for a 1 year and 5 year goals, because again, each LAA is going to be a little bit different than the other one. So we just want to be sure that they're paced at what they need to be for their own, goals and objectives. We just, we like to keep it open. We like to have them set up what they need to do. We just simply say, you know, don't do anything illegal. Don't, you know, go doing weird things. You know, we have some LAAs that will even put in their forms that, you know, this year we really want to focus more on fundraising. So we're not going to focus or put as much emphasis on our membership numbers, but we're putting all of our emphasis into fundraising goals and trying to meet a certain level. And that's great because literally everyone across the board, because all the LAAs are so different, which is just the beauty of it in general too, but it just kind of helps set their own pace.
Kind of off of the, like, saying, like, there's a bunch of different kinds and, like, having, English is just not happening.
Look, English, I'm right there with you. English sucks.
English is so hard. Do you have, is there, like, a current number for how many active LAAs there are?
Yes, we currently have 33 active LAAs, that are KK side just LAAs. Two of those are district alumni associations, 25 are chapter-based, and 6 are regional-based. We have 10 joint LAAs as well. 4 of those are district alumni associations, and 6 of them are regional. And currently, we're working on a few chapter-based LAAs that, what I call in my folder, potential LAAs. We're just getting through the whole process of having them fill out the forms, get the director of band signed on, everything like that. So a couple behind the scenes, but overall, 33 just KK Psi LAAs and 10 joint.
Nice. That was a pretty detailed breakdown.
I'm in one of those interest groups.
Yes, Sav started one whenever I first, she was my first one.
Yes.
Kirk is the king of Western District, and he's never allowed to leave. And we are getting Alpha Psi.
Alpha Psi's getting there, yeah.
Yeah, we are getting them going.
So if you want to take some of those LAAs that you're currently working with right now, what are some of the initial steps that they're doing to start their LAA? Like, what sort of, or since you're on the national side of things, what sort of resources or support does the Alumni Association provide with that type of process?
Pretty much just walking through the entire process. So what we always highly encourage for you to do is, if you want to start an LAA, go ahead and reach out to me or anyone else on the board. Of course, typically me, but you know, if you feel more comfortable talking to another board of director, not a problem whatsoever. But just reach out to us, and typically what I like to do is have a sit-down meeting with you and just get to know you, get to know what exactly you're wanting your LAA to be. I typically ask questions like, you know, are you wanting it to be a chapter regional-based LAA? Are you wanting it to be joint? Because then, of course, if it's joint, we need to reach out to Jessica Smith on TBS AA's Executive Council and have her in on the conversation as well. But we just pretty much, that first initial sit-down conversation, I want to get to know y'all, have y'all get to know me a little bit so that everyone's comfortable, and just kind of figure out what exactly you're wanting your LAA to be. Another question I also typically ask is, you know, are you wanting your LAA to be more social-based, service-based, musicianship-based? Any of those answers are totally fine. Like, I truly have no problem if an LAA comes to me and says, you know, we really aren't looking more into, like, the service action. We just want to create an LAA, a regional LAA, say, for example, where all the brothers in this area can come together and network, just say if it's, like, I don't know, the Denver area. You know, it's a big city. We just want brothers to be able to get together, and we just want to be able to host a monthly dinner through our LAA program. Like, that is not a bad idea at all. And that's what I mean by, like, are you wanting your LAA to be more social-based versus service-based? And you can also have your LAA be service and social. There really isn't any issue with that. It's just more so wanting to know what you're wanting to set up your LAA to be and how we can provide those resources to help you out. And then as far as, like, resources or anything like that, we have some basic forms, some mock setups of, like, fundraisers that you could potentially start out with if you're going to be a chapter-based LAA. A sample for your director of band's approval letter that is required. Just those sort of things. We give advice on what kind of banking you'd need to do, because of course, it's not a requirement, but we do highly recommend having a bank account, collecting dues, doing fundraisers, that sort of stuff. Right. So we're able to just kind of give some guidance on pretty much everything all around. And if there's not a, because I surely do not know everything, I will be the first to tell you all that. My biggest talent is probably I can spell onomatopoeia, and that is it. but if there's something that I can't answer for you, I will always ring up any of the other board of directors, any of the other leadership, governors, anyone like that, and just go like, hey, we have a question on an LAA. Let's get this figured out. So I will definitely reach out to whoever national leadership-wise that we need to get whatever answer you need done.
Now, do you find sitting down and having like a one-on-one conversation is more advantageous than like doing like a forum, or like how come you decide to do something like that, like a one-on-one talk? I know it's not like we can just meet at the coffee shop down the street, but like you mentioned that as a big part of it, so that's why.
Yeah. Honestly, I just find it more personable. The forum, it can answer most questions, but then we do find where some, again, every LAA is a little bit different. We have some LAAs that were wanting to become active, but maybe their active chapter is not active anymore. And so then that, it doesn't really fit into a cookie cutter situation. So I find it a little easier to have that first initial conversation of what are you wanting your LAA to be? What are you looking for? What can I do to help? What can any of the other board of directors do to help you out to get where your goal is? Because I also I hate seeing LAAs not be successful or have to unfortunately be deactivated. So being able to sit down and answer kind of the in-between questions that may not be on the form or may show up unexpectedly, I think provides a better LAA in the long run. Yeah. And plus also, I like to talk to people. I like for people to sit down and for everyone to get to know each other. And I am not I'm a scary person sometimes, according to my husband, but I'm not scary. I just want everyone to succeed in their own right. So.
Right. On some of the requirements or like structure of the LAA, is there like a minimum number of alumni required to start an LAA, or do you need like some sort of, what type of structure do you recommend for like a leadership or a board of directors or something?
Yeah. So typically right now, the only requirements are you have to have five members registered with the Alumni Association. They could be a life member, alumni, honorary, graduating senior with or without voting rights. We also have another tier called the LAA tier. That's one I really, really like to make sure that our brothers know about. Wow. Because sometimes fresh out of college or you just have a rough year and you have to make ends meet. You have a family, you have something else going on, but you still want to be a part of the fraternity in some way, shape, or form, or be a part of an LAA to give back to maybe your region or your specific college or university. The LAA tier is only $15 a year. The one downside is, unfortunately, you can't not compete. I do not want to say
can't vote or go to conventions.
Yes, you can't vote, attend. That was the word I was trying to. you can't attend conventions. You don't have a voting right, unfortunately, but at least you can still participate in LAAs. You can still be registered with us on the membership side of things. It still gets you the encore. It still gets you in the loop of like what's going on nationally. But you know, it's sometimes the LAA tiers just really just the only thing that brothers need, and that's really not a problem whatsoever. But yeah, so
along with the five people, what about like a leadership structure that you need for
Leadership structure right now, again, the only thing that we require is just at least one officer. And again, the reason why we have a very laxed requirements is because we truly want each LEA to figure out what exactly they want to be and not have super strict structures. Mm-hmm. Because also, you know, with five members, we do have some LEAs that truly only have like five or six members, but they are very successful. Mm-hmm. So if we say, you know, we have to have four or five officers, every single person's an officer, and then there's too many cooks in the kitchen at that point.
No, it's good. I mean, you have a lot of basis for comparison and like inspiration looking at anything at a chapter level, if that's anything to start with. We all went through that portion of it, or at least a very good majority of us. So you at least have the idea of that. And you can also refer to like national leadership too, and see how they structure all their boards, all their committees, all that stuff.
Yeah, and I do typically recommend that once your LAA starts to get going, definitely get more officers in there. Mm-hmm. Strongly recommend getting a vice president, getting in some sort of secretary, a finance person, branching out if you want to do like a programs or a music outreach person, just anything like that. But if you have the numbers, and that's another question that I ask whenever we have that initial meeting, is, you know, how many brothers do you have? Some people say, oh, we already have like 20 people. At that point, I'll say, okay, if you already have 20 people, let's get about three officers rolling. Let's get a vice chair. Let's get a secretary treasurer, something along those lines. But yeah, definitely like what Mark, you were saying, just going off of what Nationals does, what chapters do as well.
So we've kind of talked about how like there's different types of LAAs. The like a local, a regional, or a district. How are their purposes, like how do the purposes between like those three differ from others? That's a terrible way to phrase that question, but happening.
No, I totally get what you're saying. What flavor does each of these mean? Yes. I gotcha.
A flavor. Each of these. I hear it.
Can you tell I'm from South Carolina sometimes? But basically, so it's pretty much what it boils down to is who they're going to serve. Like we've said, we have our chapter base, we have our regional base, and we also have our district based. There is a common misconception that there is a huge difference between what we call our DAAs, the District Alumni Associations, versus any of the other LAAs. On paper, they are all LAAs across the board. It's just essentially who they're serving. Comparatively, I do, along with Jessica from TBSAA, we do tend to work more with our District Alumni Associations, only because one of the biggest things that the District Alumni Associations, DAAs, do is taking care of alumni programming for our district conventions. And of course, as we all know, planning something that big, you don't just meet once and then everything falls into place. If it did, oh my God, everyone would have so much less gray hair. But here we are, salt and peppered. So yeah, it's just basically who the LAA is serving. Everyone's a little bit different. Everyone's also kind of the same whenever you peel back the layers. Again, just the chapter-based are focusing on their chapters. Regional-based can focus more on multiple chapters in the area. Some of them more so focus on not so much the chapter, but maybe include the chapter, but also alumni that move into that area. Like Hampton Roads, you have for the Lower Virginia area. So if there's anyone that's moved to that area and they didn't necessarily attend any of the colleges or universities around that area, they can still join that LAA. Same with Atlanta too, Greater Houston, just all those bigger areas sort of thing. And then of course districts focuses on district programming and things like that. No LAA reports to another LAA. Like, just because the district kind of encompasses the district does not mean that any of the regional or chapters, air quotes, reports to them. They're all on the same playing field.
You mentioned that LAAs will look different you know, depending on what their needs are and, you know, their region. And there's a lot of different aspects that go into, you know, what a successful LAA would be or well-functioning LAA would be. But in what would you consider in terms of activities or engagement, member involvement, that sort of thing, what would you consider to be well-functioning as a LAA?
So for me, and this was something that whenever I was running for this position, I discussed having LAAs quality over quantity. I would absolutely love to see every single active chapter have an associated alumni association. I would love to see every capital have an LAA to kind of help with the brothers within that state. Like, I would love to see that. But in reality, at the moment right now, I don't think that would be wise. It could absolutely happen, but then in a year or so, how many of those are going to have to be deactivated because of something going on? So for a well-functioning LAA, in a perfect world, what I would like to see is at least a multiple fundraisers throughout a biennium, a consistent growth in membership, even if it's just one or two members each year, and then several service or social projects or events. But at the end of the day, a well-functioning LAA needs to just be one that's better than it was the day before. And again, whether if that's just this LAA has done tremendous in fundraising, but they're lacking in their membership, and then we see the next biennium, they continue that growth with their fundraising, but we see that, hey, they've added three members. That is a well-functioning LAA to me, just as long as they are continuing to strive for their highest. But not setting the bar across the board equally, because I think that is very unfair. Because some of the smaller LAAs, if you try to do that to compare them to the much larger LAAs, you're setting them up for failure. It's like grading a goldfish on how to climb a tree. We're not here for that.
And so for those LAAs that work with either local chapters or colleges and universities, what would you consider some successful collaborations, or what things would you suggest to LAAs that they could do to collaborate with colleges and universities in the area?
Basically, the first step, if you want to figure out what is going to benefit your local college or university, go talk to the band or director of bands, go talk to the sponsor, go talk to the chapter, see what they need. Because again, that whole like blanket of let's just provide the one thing, the one service for everyone. Some of them may not really need that, and others may need something a little bit more. Lincoln University of Pennsylvania, they're one of our newer LAAs. they work with their band program throughout the year. They provide different funds for different things for their band. They have kind of like this field day event that their band puts on for local middle school and high school kids over the summer. They help out with that as well. Zeta Chi at USC hosts an annual golf tournament, and proceeds go back to Carolina Bands. Kappa Beta, whenever they were an alumni association, we would gather scholarships to give back to Clemson to try to get someone at national convention or district convention. So different ways. You can volunteer at your home games. You can, if the band's packing up to go to an away game, show up and go, hey, we'll be there at 6 o'clock in the morning and we'll load the equipment bus for you. And, or if you can't do that, hosting different events, maybe at the end of the year, providing gifts for the seniors as a thank you for your service to the bands, happy graduation, good luck in the real world. There's a lot of ways that you can give back to your local chapters and universities. It just, like I said, it just kind of depends, and see what their needs are and what their wants would be. But Scholarships are super easy, even if it's KKSI scholarships. I would say, of course, you know, the first year graduating seniors get a free year from the Alumni Association. But maybe reaching out and saying, hey, if this LEA will provide, if you are signed up and registered with KKSI AA for the first year, we'll pay for your second year. And that helps out that student, because we all know those first couple of years out of college, unless you have like the golden job that just is beautiful, and whoever has that. but I'm proud of y'all for that, but a lot of us just don't have that. So being able to just be brotherly and just help out those students like that, that would be another good idea as well.
Throughout all of the LAAs that you've helped out with during your time, what are some of the common challenges that they've faced, or what strategies have proven effective in helping overcome them?
Membership numbers, I would definitely say, yeah. Would be a big one. And filling out the forms. As sometimes as silly as it is, especially too, I will say with changing from OMRS to Opus, there's been some bumps in the road of like, oh, I didn't know we had to fill this out or that, or some LAAs are able to get some of our older brothers who aren't as used to the process of everything and just getting them up to date on how the new process is and everything. So I would say the two biggest ones would be just getting our forms filled out and keeping membership numbers up. To help out with those, with the forms, we literally just bombard y'all in an email through the Encore.
I was going to say, with all of the notifications, that somehow still is one of the biggest struggles, huh?
Yes.
In the best way possible. Like, obviously, it's...
Yes, important. And in the best way possible. And that is also kind of also another reason why it is so important to renew, which also renewals for the Alumni Association open today. So y'all please go renew. But
yeah, the time will be clicking or ticking by the time this episode drops too.
Probably
like 2 weeks.
So renew your memberships.
Renew your memberships. Insert me with the mom stare now. Do it.
Sorry to interrupt you. What else? What are you saying? Sorry.
No. That's okay. But yeah, so with the forms, it's just simply getting those filled out. With LAAs, you have your annual renewal form due June 1st. Typically, again, we bombard y'all. We try to send out emails. But yeah, just every year, June 1st, we try to make everyone know that, you know, your renewals are due. If I don't receive anything from you, I'll reach out. I don't immediately, June 2nd, you're deactivated. I don't want to talk to you anymore. Like, I will try to reach out multiple times. And if I don't get anything back from anybody, then unfortunately at that point, then it does become a deactivation issue. But I haven't had that issue. I've had a few members who I'm reaching out on one platform or one email address or anything like that, and then reach out on another one and they go, oh yeah, my information updated from this to that. Well, that's why you need to update your form yearly. I mean, I've been married, so changed my name. I've lived in 4 different states. So just, and I'm only wanted in 3 of those states. So, that's why it's very important to update and renew your information every year. Then that way, whenever we are running into those form issues, we can nip it in the butt real quickly. And then as far as membership is concerned, it kind of depends. So a lot of the membership ones aren't necessarily regional based. More of them are chapter based. So whenever we run into those issues, run into any membership issues, I always, again, I reach out to Miranda or Marina on the board and go, hey, can we get together a list from the forms, from filling out that information, and go, do we have any brothers that live in this area for any regionals? Do we have any that are graduates from this chapter that we could potentially, of course, legally, you know, there's some brothers that mm-hmm. don't want their information shared, so we do not do that. But if you do allow us to share your information in that regard, we do send those out to the LAAs if they ask for that. So yeah, just fill out your forms. Everyone, please renew your membership, please.
You heard it directly from the source. You don't have to, if you don't feel like you have a better answer for this one too, you don't have to go into any detail on whether or not we want to keep this in. Obviously, we can figure out. But in the same umbrella of challenges and solutions, what are some suggestions you might have as to how smaller or perhaps some of the newer LAAs can work towards that sustainable growth goal and otherwise engagement?
Yeah. So what I always recommend is set yourself up with SMART goals, the specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, time-bound SMART goals.
Right, right.
Take it slow. You know, don't try to reinvent the wheel. Rome was not built in one day. Take it slow for the smaller LAAs. There's obviously the want and need for your LAA to be formed. Otherwise, why would it be here? But take the time and work on each problem one step at a time. Always reach out to me. My cell phone number is on emails. My email is, you know, all over the place. I thought I was the only Brittany Biberston. Apparently, there's another one. I will talk with her. Yeah.
We'll get that squared away.
Yeah, we'll get real quick. I used to be able to, but there's only one Brittany Bozzarello. And now, I don't know who this other Biberston chick is, but.
Biberston number two, if you're out there listening.
Yeah.
We've got someone who wants to talk to you.
Yeah. Like, you're not even in the family tree, which I don't get either, but. But yeah, if you're having issues, smaller ones, newly formed ones, always reach out to us. We will get it figured out what we need to do for you. Staying quiet and trying to stay, I don't want to say disassociated, but just distanced. It's not going to turn out well for you, because I promise you, my biggest thing is that I want each and every LAA to succeed. I guess it's like the motherly portion of me. Whenever I was the vice president at a Clemson of membership, it was always a joke of like, oh, these are all of her kids, and you know, she's mom, and they get called mom a lot and everything. But it's just the very motherly aspect of me of I want each and every LAA baby, whichever, to succeed. So just take it easy. If you're running into issues, reach out to us, and one step at a time will get you where you need to get.
I can confirm that is true, because I have reached out to you. You know, because with me, I started an LAA, and it's not easy in every way. Like, we all have our challenges, and membership is definitely a big challenge for us. Like you said, it's across the board, and I think that's across the board in general, you know. But it can be hard to sometimes approach alumni and be like, hey, come over here. Like, now come pay me money and pay the Alumni Association money and come do all this service. And they're like, I just graduated. I don't know what's going on. And I'm like, it can be hard sometimes. And so I've, you know, talked to you a couple times about like getting contact information for people in the region and kind of setting those like realistic goals, like having those long-term goals, but also being like realistic about what I can achieve at this moment and not thinking too far down the road so that I don't disappoint myself where I'm like, well, it's not happening. It is, like you said, Rome was not built in a day, and it does take time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't want to see incredible leaders like yourself burnt out and disappointed and going, oh, well, I want to get 50 members by the end of 2026. Like, baby girl, let's maybe start with 20. And then if we go over that, and if we get to 30, then you know what? You get an extra gold star.
I don't know how to segue into this.
Just dive right
no
in.
No segue.
Segue!
The AI generated. Benefits and impact. How do LA...
Mark! how do LAAs benefit individual alumni members as well as the fraternity as a whole?
I think individuals, I don't want to say, I'll just say it, just dive right on into it. It kind of helps gives a sense of purpose because sometimes you're so active while you're an active member, you can, you know, be doing everything for your chapter. You're doing all this, these band organizations, just all the stuff. And then you graduate and then you don't have to get up at 8 o'clock for practice anymore. And you don't have to sit down in chapter and, you know, all the things every Sunday anymore. So it individually, it kind of helps segue into your alumni life, as well as kind of give a purpose. I mean, we all joined this fraternity for one purpose or another. And then the fraternity as a whole, just getting our alumni to stay active within the fraternity. You know, we take an oath for a lifelong service, and sometimes it's hard to figure out exactly what is the best way to give back to the fraternity as an alumni, because I did a workshop whenever I was with CETA called Be a Brother, Not a Bother. And you know, and that's just a good way to be able to have a segue to give back to the fraternity in an appropriate manner.
Do you have any success stories or examples of LAAs that have that you can share that have made a significant impact on their local community or on like a national scale?
So national scale, shout out to all the DAAs. Let's just put that out there right now. They're the ones that run for or run the district programming for each convention. And without their impact, we would be, I mean, we would not be salt and peppered. We would be completely gray haired. Like, so absolutely national wise, shout out to them. They are a huge, huge help. With planning programming and working with the conventions every single year. Locally, I do want to give a shout out to Low Country because they do work with scholarships every year. Not work with, excuse me. Low Country provides scholarships every year to local band students. So Low Country is in South Carolina. A lot of those areas tend to be not as high income, but highly talented. And so them being able to provide scholarships or any kind of financial help is tremendous. So definitely shout out to Low Country.
So we are almost to the end of bombarding you with questions. So next we want to talk about for people who are unable to start their own local alumni association, how can they get involved and how can they find existing associations and still make that like meaningful impact on the alumni side?
So if you're unable to start an LAA and if you want to join an existing one, you can go online to our website and there's a list of all of our active LAAs. Again, of course, the chapter ones versus regional. When in doubt, I always say, join your district alumni association. If you're unsure of what to do, at least join that one because there is a district alumni association for each district. So that's always an easy go, join, be merry, be productive, don't be a bother. And as far as a meaningful impact, you know, it's hard to say with that meaningful impact sort of thing because everyone is good at different things. Like, I was struggling trying to log on to Discord. I'm definitely the boomer side of me came out on this. So if you were to come to me and say, "Hey, Brittany, we need help with computer," you go somewhere else with that mess.
That's when you go to Mark, our Discord king.
And who'd you call?
Yeah, I did. I surely did. I called up Mark and I said, hey, I've got a baby. Savannah said to email her if I had issues, but I can only, like, hey, Siri, call Mark, and wa-bam. No, don't call him. but yeah, so, yeah, just start off with joining your district alumni association. Go to our website. We have the updated list of what LAAs are active and where to join. And again, if you don't know, my goodness, if you don't know where to go or how to start, give me a call. Send me an email. I will get you where you need to go. No problems.
And can you be in multiple local alumni associations, or can you work with like district ones, like as well as local ones too?
Oh, absolutely. I would absolutely love for every local alumni association that's within a district to also be a member of their district association, as well as, not as well as, but yes, you can absolutely. We have some brothers who are, I have it actually listed out here. We have a couple brothers who are a Kappa Mu LAA chapter based. They also live near the Atlanta area, so they're the Atlanta Alumni Association member. And they also are a part of CETA. So they have hit the trifecta. So you can absolutely join as many LAAs as you can.
Join all the free ones. Bombard your email inbox.
Yeah.
Well, those were all of our super serious questions. Is there anything else you wanted to really add about the whole LAA process, or anything from your perspective?
Let me see. So, absolutely. If you have any questions or want to start an LAA, definitely absolutely reach out. We do have roughly, I think it was about 22 LAAs that are, unfortunately, have been deactivated over the years. So, I mean, it's always a good, and it's not a issue of if they're deactivated, they can never be activated again. We can absolutely get you back activated. We can go through what was the reason you were deactivated. Let's address those issues so that we don't run into that same thing again. So I would definitely, like I said, I would love to see more LAAs, especially in the Western side of things. So please, let's...
Mark's hiding now.
That is not a tea or shade.
You and me both, brother. Like, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I would love to see more LAAs. Again, the quality over quantity. Right, our current LAAs, I want to be sure that, you know, they continue to keep stepping up. This past year, there have been a lot of LAAs that have taken on that. We have had a lot of LAAs taking on that challenge of progressing and becoming a better LAA in some way, shape, or form over this past year. So I'm excited to see what this upcoming year will continue to show us.
Cool. So being our second interviewee on the podcast, as of this one, we are now starting an ongoing tradition, as you needed to do at least twice for it to be a tradition, where we include a sort of quick or rapid fire section to help us to get to know you better, like an informal part. So the goal was originally to answer with one word, but honestly, you can do whatever you wish with your answer, if you'd like. Are you ready? We'll just go straight down the line.
Okay, cool.
What's your favorite color?
Purple.
Favorite food?
Spaghetti.
Favorite musical?
Okay. there's three. So I'm sorry, I can't do one word. But they're all for different reasons. Chicago, for the choreography. I grew up dancing. I was actually a dancer in Clemson's Tiger Band. And I play flute and piccolo. But the Bob Fosse choreography, oh my God, that is just, that tickles my brain in the right way. So Chicago for the choreography, Phantom of the Opera for the songs and music.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just, I can never hit that high note, but.
Yeah, another one.
It is what it is. And then, of course, The Lion King. I've seen it. That was my first Broadway play that I saw. But so that always holds a special place in my heart. But the magnificent, gorgeous puppetry, the set, just everything. Just so. Chicago, Phantom of the Opera, Lion King.
Nice. We'll cut out everything that you said in between. So anyway, what is...
I like that you said we, like you're doing it.
Yeah, I'm doing squat. Who's your favorite superhero?
I'm not really a superhero girly, but I do.
Literally or literally?
Literally. Literally.
Fictionally. Why not?
I was going to say Spider-Man because that's my husband's favorite, and I do like to watch the Spider-Man movies. But literally I would say Steve Irwin because my guy, rest in peace, but Steve Irwin, superhero.
That's an iconic answer.
Mm-hmm. Where did you go on your last vacation?
My last true vacation was Disney World in 2022.
Good answer. Calls or texts?
Calls. I can't spell worth a damn, so.
What is your Hogwarts house?
Hufflepuff.
Okay. Do you have one? And if so, what is your hidden talent?
Very vocal. So, hidden.
Silence is your hidden talent.
Violence is my hidden talent.
No, silence, not violence.
Silence? Oh,
same difference. Pick a day. Pick a day, flip a coin.
Yeah. It is what it is. Well, I was going to say tap dancing because, like I said, I grew up dancing, but not to toot my own horn, I am a very good tap dancer. So.
Wild. Okay, write that down.
NatCon tapping with Brittany.
Talent show.
Listen, I will do a tap performance if, let me see.
Oh, no.
No
contingency. No. I'm trying to think. I'm like, let's see. Do I say if we raise so much money, do we have another LAA?
If we hit 500,000 likes on the, no.
If this episode gets 500 listens, I will do a tap routine at NatCon.
That's ambitious.
All right, so the people really got to show out.
Yes, show out, and then I will show out.
Can I just listen to it 499 times?
RSS might flag you as a bot, but you're welcome to try.
If everyone in the committee listens to it 20 times,
that's 20 bots.
60.
Hey, that's progress.
What is your Myers-Briggs type, if you know it?
ESFJ.
Oh, okay. Are you an early bird or a night owl?
Well, with baby, yes.
Before and after.
Yes, all of the above.
All of the above. But normally I'm a night owl.
Cool. What are your big three in your astrology chart, if you know those too?
So before this interview, I did not know.
That's right, because you wrote them down.
I did. I wrote them
down. I see those eyes darting, yeah.
What am I? So apparently, my sun is a Gemini, my moon is a Taurus, and my ascendant is a Pisces.
Ooh. Oh,
across the board. That, okay.
Yeah. Okay. We're all reading into that now.
Yep. If you can tell me what that means, please let me know. All I knew before this was I knew I was a Gemini. I knew I was on the cusp because my birthday is May 21st. Mm-hmm. And I knew I was born in the year of the rooster. That's all I had for you.
That's a good start.
Yeah. And the last one is selfish, but you owe me this from WDC 24 banquet. But what's the story behind Elephant Conversationalist?
Oh, I thought I told you this. Okay. Nope. So, growing up, I absolutely, and even today, I absolutely love animals. Just animal. I'm an animals girly. My favorite animal has always been elephants. And whenever, my dream job is to be an elephant conservationist. Whenever I was a sophomore at Clemson, the incoming members for the fraternity that year, MCs, they are, one of the things was they had to interview us just to get to know everybody. And during the, one of the interviews, it was, oh, well, what is your dream job or whatever, whatever. And I said, elephant conservationist. Well, one girl misheard me and she went, elephant conversationist. So you want to go out into the jungle and just talk to elephants?
Gosh.
And I was like, well, I mean, yeah, that'd be cool too. But, you know, Jane Goodall for pachyderms, but, so that it just became a very funny, just kind of story. And that became my fraternity nickname, Elephant Conversationist.
All right.
I love that. Okay. So the last question, a few episodes ago, we interviewed Bonko and we asked him what his favorite condiment was and why was it ranch? Because we all know it's ranch. So what is your favorite condiment?
Ketchup. Very basic.
Hey.
Staple.
It's a staple.
It is.
It's Heinz. A staple condiment.
Yes. It has to be Heinz. Hunt's. We just don't need to waste the tomatoes. Just Heinz.
You're so right.
All right, so now we got to get Heinz ketchup stickers for NatCon. Duly yes. Noted. Yes, mm-hmm. We're gonna make this a thing.
I'm not opposed to that. I will definitely will look into that. Let's see how many like who has more
a fat stack of them from Etsy.
Heinz or ranch.
Brittany, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been great to talk to you. It's been great to get to know you. Mm-hmm. Is there any socials or do you want to share your email for brothers to connect with you?
Sure. I have Facebook and Instagram. Email is Biberston, Biberston, @kksci.org. Instagram, super creative. Biberston, Biberston B. I like to keep it very simple. I do have a TikTok, but I do not tick, I only talk. So if you add me, I will send you all the videos of all kinds of funny things. There'll be some vet med stuff in there thrown in. but but yeah.
Perfect.
Oh, and love then it. Which also I've add to for LAA stuff, LAA@kksci.org.
Oh, of course. Mm-hmm.
But if you just want to talk regular stuff, the Biberston B at kksci.org.
Awesome. Cool, cool, cool.
So some announcements for the end of the episode. It is time to start thinking about running for the Alumni Association Board of Directors. If you're interested, make sure to get your packets in by January 15th, which is exactly 1 month from when this episode will drop. For more details, be sure to visit our social media pages or head to the website at kksiaa.org/aabod-elections for all the information you need. And don't miss out on this exciting opportunity to get involved.
That wraps up our final episode of 2024. We hope this interview provided you with all the information you need to either start your own LAA or keep your current one thriving. A big thank you to LAA Director Brittany Biberston for joining us today. As always, we'd like to extend a special thanks to the National Alumni Association and Kappa Kappa Psi National Honorary Band Fraternity for making this podcast possible. Happy holidays and thanks for tuning in. We'll see you in the new year.
Have a wonderful day, and as always, A.
E.
A.
Thank you.